VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back to the numbers game, live from Circa Sports, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. What's happening? We get tweets. I just want to read this one right here, Kelly. Coach Brian, this is pretty much my feelings on Conn Smythe. He says, I'm sitting on a Bennett 30-1 ticket and a Draisaitl 8-1 ticket thanks to VSiN. I'm eating my fingernails for the next three games, hoping Connor McJesus does not go into legend mode.
What could possibly go wrong?
I go back to what I said last segment, which is that's all it's going to take. That's what I'm worried about. Like, really, if he just puts in some huge goal in Game 7 with some highlight reel play, that's the end of that. Yeah. I just feel like that's how we'll get
I also think that we are I'm going to go with 90% down to those final three that you just listed. But, yeah. Oh, man, these odds swings are wild. We were just looking at that. Bobrovsky, one bad game. He's out of it completely. Kachuk scores a couple goals. Moves from 100-1 yesterday. Danny and Savannah found in the back. 100-1 now down to 10-1.
Yeah, he scored the first two goals yesterday. But, I mean, Bennett has 14 goals in the playoffs. By the way, between Draisaitl and McDavid, just because you were wondering, 32 points apiece now in the playoffs. They're tied. Draisaitl 11-6 in goals. McDavid 26-21 in assists. Draisaitl 10-8 in plus minus. You have any second round U.S. Open plays?
Yes, I do. Jensen? Actually, I do. Yes, I do have a couple of second round matchups. I added a top 10 on Victor Hovland. VSiN.com, by the way, we are doing recaps for the U.S. Open every single day. Myself, Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, Matt Eumanns putting in thoughts, bets in there. So I put in Hovland top 20, top 10 in there I talked about yesterday. Also brought up the Siwoo Kim top 10 bet we were discussing yesterday. Added those for finishing positions. And then second round matchups, Taylor Pendrith over JJ Spahn. Tip of the cap to Chris Felica, actually. He sent that one in. I was like, oh, that's it looks like a good one. And then Siwoo Kim over Ben Griffin today.
How about Brooks Koepka's round so far today? Three birdies and four bogeys through 10. One over.
It is. I just hope he. I mean, he should be. I hope he is a story all weekend, Gil. Like yeah. It is. Okay, Jordan. Real quick, Jensen. Sorry, I know you're hanging by. Jordan Spieth could not be more annoying yesterday. He was classic Jordan Spieth, complaining, whining about everything, and then you get Brooks Koepka. So I don't really know why I love Brooks because he gets all salty with the media. Right. He's kind of annoying from that standpoint. I get it. But this guy had the balls. The balls to call Oakmont not that hard of a test before the tournament, Gil, when he's barely played well in the past 2 years, and then went out and did that yesterday. He backed up his bold statements beforehand. Brooks is just, he's kind of a king, man.
Management's in Omaha. You could scream about anything you want. Nothing can happen to you. What else you want to scream about? By the way, Scheffler won over now for the day through eight. That's done.
Spieth, man, they just love it. They bump out to break with Spieth just hot mic, and it's like, no, shut up. He's just complaining about everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's a co-host of By the Books, which precedes us each and every day here on the network, hosted by Captain America Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. It's Jensen Lewis live from Omaha, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Jensen?
We are good. A couple of jello shots deep for Dave and the boys and everyone back home, so... I think a few people had, and Kelly can appreciate this, we had a couple of rookie mistakes from people going too hard, too fast, and it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So I plan on climbing the odds board tonight and finishing strong.
Just explain to me, how do we determine who the winner is? Everybody falls flat except for one person? Like, how is that determined in the end?
Last man standing, right? I mean, this is Survivor Omaha style, right?
That's
this
right.
is probably it. No, it's been good. It's been a lot of fun and just having everyone here and wish you guys could be here as well. First time to Omaha for me as well and just taking it in. We are about to have the monsoon of LSU and Arkansas fans get here later today. So you will not be able to get a spot any of the establishments here probably this afternoon well into this weekend.
All right, let's start with today's games in bracket one. Coastal Carolina, Arizona, and Oregon State, Louisville. Are those the two today, or are we in bracket two today? I think
yes.
Those are the two today. Yeah, those are the two today in bracket one. First of all, do you have any futures still alive?
I have an Arkansas. I feel like it's 650. I have to double check where they are right now. But I think what I would have loved to have had, and I should have probably done it when I saw their draw, was Coastal Carolina. And Gil, I think I remember you and I texting back and forth about, oh, okay, Florida was going to be one of those really popular teams to win that regional. In the back of my mind, I'm like, I really should have just gone back to, hey, great frontline starting pitching. They're at home. That's an offense that's suited really well for that ballpark. So that's the one that I have FOMO on, now down to six. I'm sure they were in the 30s at one point. But yeah, we'll see. This first bracket, this left side of the bracket, if you will, very wide open with Coastal and Arizona, and obviously with Louisville and Oregon State.
Yeah, Coastal is the only one, Jensen, that I have any FOMO on. I didn't consider any of the other seven for even a moment. So Coastal is that for me. Do you have a play in any of those two first games tonight?
Yeah, we're going to go. And for people that are just jumping in here, Gil, on how a TD Ameritrade ballpark plays, it is very spacious, very similar to Kauffman Stadium for you Royals fans out there. So a lot of ground to track. And I got in on the under 9.5 yesterday, down to 9 in a lot of places here for Arizona and Coastal Carolina. Owen Krymkowski is going to go for Arizona in game one. I don't think he got out of the second inning in his first start on Friday against North Carolina in the Chapel Hill Super that I was covering. So I think a good bounce back spot. But I do respect where Coastal's frontline starting pitching is. I do feel they're going to be able to limit Arizona's offense too. So could see a very low scoring game, perhaps a 3-2, 5-3, somewhere in there. And for college standards, that's really low scoring. Same can be said, I think, for Louisville and Oregon State on the under 10 in that one. I haven't walked outside yet, guys, but traditionally, the wind, it will play not like a Wrigley Field factor here, but certainly if it's blowing out, that's something to factor in on the totals markets. But as of right now, everything looks pretty calm. So I do think that sticker shock of just getting on the field for the first time, do feel like pitching dominates here in day one.
Yeah, Coastal Carolina, by the way, out of the Sun Belt, got here by beating Auburn twice, two thrillers. Arizona took down North Carolina at Chapel Hill in two, really in the face of elimination, two games with the face of elimination, and get to the College World Series for the first time in the Chip Hale era. Louisville here beating Miami, Oregon State having beaten Kelly Bidlin's Fighting FSU Seminoles to get here. What about tomorrow? Murray State is the darling, if you will, of this bracket right now. And Murray State, by the way, Jensen, you and I talked about beforehand that prop, will a four seed get there? This is the one that cashed, right? Murray State did, in fact, get there as a four seed.
Remarkable, right, Gil? And yes, they are Cinderella alive and in living color here, but don't tell that to them or their potent offense. I think they are very live. I jumped on them on the money line yesterday, plus 210. I think they're down to plus 200 in a couple of spots, and it wouldn't shock me if that number goes further south here, just with some of the momentum and just really the matchup in general here, Gil. I think they match up extremely well against UCLA's pitching. I'd be fascinated to see where this game is late. No play on the total for me. Don't know if UCLA's offense is going to kind of trade punches here, but love the way Murray State is coming in swinging. They're a very confident bunch. I'm not getting in the way of this freight train right now. Let's go Racers, and let's see them pull a day one in their bracket upset as well.
Yeah, 2-1 dogs in the game against UCLA tomorrow. And then LSU Arkansas, what's the strategy here? Obviously, the only conference that's represented with two teams, they happen to play each other. Do you wait for the loser here and then jump on the loser?
Exactly. And again, another total play for me. Got under 10 yesterday. It dipped as low as 9 and then a little buyback here. I'd still advise the under 9.5, a boltload of power pitching here that's going to come at you left, right, center. And the atmosphere, guys, if you've seen plenty of SEC weekends, it's going to feel that way as far as football season goes. It's going to feel that way 30,000 strong here in Omaha. So you'll get to hear all calling the hogs. You'll get to hear all the LSU Tiger chants. So I think today those teams kind of get a feel of how the ballpark is playing. But again, a lot of swing and miss from both pitching staffs. So I think you could get a tightly contested match. But also, Gil, I'm with you on strategy. Whichever team ends up losing this one, I would say you could jump on them almost in a sense of, if you don't like what the future price ends up being, I'd roll the money lines over because obviously it's double elimination, so they'd have to win out to be able to get to the College World Series final.
Yeah, so you can withstand one loss before you get to the best of three championship, if you will. So you could withstand two losses from now until the title, essentially. So just reviewing those first four games, the official play is on which one or which ones here?
Yeah, so we'll do four official plays. Under 9.5 in Arizona Coastal. We'll do under 10 in Louisville, Oregon State. Murray State on the money line, plus 210, and then the under 10 in LSU, Arkansas.
All right, what's your favorite? Can I trouble you for your favorite MLB play of the day, sir, since that is your bread and butter?
I would say I do like the Red Sox and the Diamondbacks today. I think the matchup there, Garrett Crochet, back-to-back starts here against New York. Think he'll be in a great spot. Wouldn't mind a little Paul Skene strikeout ladder today, a little matinee special against the Cubs offense. We'll kind of see how that plays out. But that's where I'm standing right now. Obviously, we'll have a boatload more to come here. Maybe one under two for you, Gil. Under in Rays and Mets, under eight. Good pitching matchup there, too. Taj Bradley and Clay Holmes. So I think a lot of action here on a very loaded MLB slate, too.
Jensen, I really appreciate it. We really appreciate it. As you look across at your VSiN cohorts, just before we go here in 10 seconds, who's the person you're looking across with the jello shots and you're like, that's the one I've got to beat?
I think Stormy is really kicking the tires and ready to light the fires once they sign off today. I think that's who I got to beat.
Stormy Bonatoni. Thank you, Jensen. Appreciate it. Jensen Lewis, everybody. Buy the books.
The Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, all day, all weekend, VSiN live from Omaha for the College World Series. We're broadcasting straight from Rocco's, home of the legendary Jello Shot Challenge, with live shows now through Saturday. Catch money moves and follow the money with on-site insight, atmosphere, and best bets for the tournament. For all the coverage and your free College World Series betting guide, head to VSiN.com/CWS. I always look at that and think Chicago White Sox. College World Series is what we're talking about. VSiN.com/CWS. Money Moves will be with us, or JVT and Stormy, that is, will be with us here later on the show. Then, of course, they'll broadcast right at the top of next hour. And then follow the money a little later on. Live from Omaha. Omaha. We get tweets at beating the book. Let me just read Bed in the Woods, who says, his theory is the NBA final games are too spread out. It's hard to get excited about games you have to wait 3 days for. It kills the momentum. Game 5 and 6 is Monday, then Friday? Ridiculous. Is that true? Game 5 is Monday and Game 6 is Friday? I didn't even notice that.
Sounds right.
Is that correct?
I know it's Friday, Monday. Like, we have tonight and then Monday.
We have Friday, Monday, yes.
I completely agree with that statement.
I do. I mean, and we've talked about it.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
We've talked about it ad
nauseam. The amount of time you have off even between the conference finals and the finals is silly.
He's
and
right.
Then...
He's right. It's Monday, Friday. That's insane. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's interminable because, again, if they play a game 7, it's on June 23rd.
I'm fine with, I'm pretty sure hockey sticks to this, right? Where it's I'm fine with giving an extra day between the travel. Right. If you need to take 2 days off because you're traveling, fine. If you're in the same city, just go every other night.
By the way, a couple things before we get to Nick Whalen here, a co-host of Prop Points, because he's got NBA thoughts and NFL thoughts as well. We always like to hear that. That Edmonton comeback, 3-0 deficit, that is the first road team in Stanley Cup final history to rally from a deficit of at least 3 goals and win since the Montreal Canadiens rallied to defeat, are you ready for this, Kelly? The Seattle Metropolitans in overtime in 1919.
Well, that was a quality team. You can't let them get behind and just fall asleep.
Yeah, they were an underachiever.
Yeah.
Yeah, their analytics were better than their performance. And then for Draisaitl, 11th goal, right, fourth goal in overtime of the playoffs, but 11th goal for this entire postseason. Home teams, by the way, just to put it a different way, home teams with at least a 3-goal lead in the Stanley Cup final, 158-1 before last night's game.
John Rahm currently chipping out of a goalie of some kind. That's the word I'm going to go with.
A goalie?
Yeah, yeah. There's these trenches at Oakmont, and he's just like right in the middle of one. He's fallen off completely. I did live bet him yesterday during first round.
And since you bring that up, so remember how at the beginning of the show we were trying to update the leaderboard, they were both lagging onto what we actually saw? Did you notice, did anybody else notice, when it went to overtime yesterday, if you looked at your Yahoo scoreboard or maybe even your ESPN scoreboard, that they all had it 4-3 Edmonton final. So, and you knew
when it went to overtime?
It was, so if you looked at your at some of the...
Oh, it's scripted, Gil. It's all scripted.
If you looked at it, they were all like really janky. So this is like a little weird scoreboard thing that happened last night too. So I was just, if you hadn't watched the game, you would have thought Edmonton had won in regulation. Anyway, they went into overtime, but I just thought that was weird also. Let's talk to Nick Whalen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's the co-host of Prop Points here on the network. which takes place 2 hours after our finish here. After, so it's us, then it's money, it's by the books, then it's us on a numbers game, then it's money moves, and then, of course, it's prop points with Nick and crew. How you doing, Nick? What's happening, man?
Doing well, guys. Doing well. Good to be back. Always love hanging out with you guys, especially on a Friday morning, heading into a big weekend. Got a golf outing up in the Green Bay area tomorrow, so fired up to be here, fired up to do our show and talk a little NBA.
Let's talk a little NBA first, because I know you have some football thoughts as well. Which way are you going tonight? Kelly and I are not completely oppo. I'm taking the points. He's got OKC on the money line, total at 228 once again.
You know, I would love to just hang on to my belief that OKC is the significantly better team. That's what, you know, the vast majority of the sample, including the regular season, has told us. I mean, even the numbers at the book right now, OKC minus 220 still to win this series, despite trailing 2-1. I would love to feel like I could confidently trust the Thunder to bounce back tonight. But honestly, guys, game three to me was alarming, I think, in a lot of ways, you know, more so defensively than anything else for OKC, which I can't believe I'm saying, because I think that was kind of the more reliable side of the ball for this team. But, you know, I thought going into the series, if Indiana was going to win, you know, more than one game, they were going to have some of these aberration shooting nights, you know, right? A night where you hit 18 three-pointers, similar to what they did in game one. And it's not like Indiana did that whatsoever in game three. It's like, yeah, you're probably not getting 27 points again from Ben Mathurin off the bench, but the Pacers went 9 of 27 from beyond the arc and still won this game relatively comfortably. You know, OKC just got straight up beat. You know, I think we saw for one of the few times this postseason what this offense can look like if you do a good job slowing down SGA. And all of a sudden it goes from all these role players that we really like to, you know, if you need to ask those guys to give you more than 7, 8, 9 points off the bench, Caruso, Dort, you know, guys like Cason Wallace, all of a sudden it felt to me like OKC felt thin on the offensive end. So pressure is now on OKC. I expect the Thunder to respond. I would rather just play OKC on the money line, though, than mess around with the points right now, especially with how Indiana is closing these games. I mean, they're something like plus 37, I think, in terms of scoring in the fourth quarter alone. Obviously, they've been doing that throughout the postseason, and it doesn't seem like a trend that's going to reverse even against this great OKC team.
Do you agree with us that tonight is the de facto NBA championship game, that whoever wins tonight wins the series?
I think that's reasonable. Yeah, I think that's reasonable. You know, if OKC wins, obviously, you know, you're sending it back to Oklahoma City. It's 2-2 at that point. The momentum is back on your side. We'd see a huge jump in the series price. And yeah, I mean, it's conceivable to me that the Pacers could blow a 3-1 lead, but I think with the level of confidence that this team is playing with, I don't think they would do that. So yeah, I think, you know, that's kind of it's a first takey way maybe to look at this game, but I think it's accurate. I think it's accurate. And again, the Pacers are the team to me that has played with more confidence so far in this series. Like, they are beating, guys, they're beating OKC at their own game. They forced 19 turnovers in game three, scored 21 points off of those turnovers, 17 fast break points, 20 points in the long two range, which is really where guys like SGA and Jalen Williams tend to operate. And instead, you know, it's been Halliburton and Nembhard and Ben Mathurin. And again, we have to give a lot of credit to the Pacers defense. You know, the way Nembhard was harassing SGA in game three, they're giving up nothing easy in the paint, around the rim. And of course, you know, the bench continues to be an advantage for the Pacers as well. 49 bench points in game three.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that, I guess, for any number of game fours where the series is 2-1. But I do feel like the way that this one breaks down, it really feels that way. To the NFL, it is still June, mid-June, but it's never too early to talk NFL. What are some of your bets that you've made here?
Well, I don't throw a whole lot of things in too early, right? We talk about plenty of options over on our show. I don't love the player futures market just because of how much injuries can weigh on that. But one thing that I've been trumpeting on our show, on other shows, is you guys know I'm an AFC South guy, despite living in NFC North territory. I am a Jaguars fan. I'm not ready to fully buy in on this Jags team. And I still look at the Houston Texans right now as the team to beat in that division. You know, obviously, you have some questions about the offensive line after parting ways with Laremy Tunsil, but I think they've found ways to kind of mitigate some of the injuries in that wide receiver core that completely sunk the passing game midway through last season. You know, you bring in two talented rookies, you add a veteran in Christian Kirk. I think the offense essentially bottomed out last season, and that's as bad as it's probably ever going to look with CJ Stroud at the helm, and they still won the division by 2 games. And, you know, it's the AFC South, guys. 9 wins might take it. I'm not saying Houston's going to come out and win 12 or 13 games, but I still think this is the best coach team in the division. I think they have the best quarterback in the division. They might have the best defense in the division. And look, if you like Jacksonville at plus 260, there's a lot of wish casting there, you know, and I have learned better with this franchise, even though I like Liam Cohen. You know, I think this team is moving in the right direction. I don't know that we're going to see a massive year one turnaround for the Jaguars to the point where they're winning this division. And look, hard to get excited about the Colts right now. Titans are in a rebuild. I think getting Houston at plus money right now to win the South is a deal.
Wish casting. I like that. Anything else, or I have another NFL question for you if you don't have another bet. Do you have another bet besides that one?
Nothing that's really top of mind, so hit me with your question.
My question is this, and I ask this of a number of things. What's the off-field narrative in this NFL offseason? What's the off-season narrative that you're hearing, you know, sort of anecdotally that you've heard more in more than one or two places where you're like, I don't know why this is a thing and I'm not buying into it?
Oh, that's a very good question. I've been skeptical of New England to some degree. And, you know, this is more, it's kind of a mix of on and off field, I guess. You know, Stephon Diggs makes this more of an off field issue. But I think there's just this general upswell of, all right, the Patriots are back. They got Mike Vrabel. They have a star quarterback all of a sudden in Drake May. Just because you go shopping in free agency and spend a bunch of money and, you know, some of the analysts say you had a great draft, I want to see that in practice before I fully buy in. You know, I'm not running to the window to play the over 8.5 wins on New England. I still think, you know, obviously Buffalo is by far the best team in that division. I want to see it before I believe it with the New England Patriots. And, you know, our producer on Prop Points, Michael Cohen, doesn't like when I say that on air because he is in the bag for this Pats team. But that is something that I'm tracking very closely, is the expectation versus results as we get closer to training camp for New England. Because we've seen some encouraging things. It feels like this team is moving in the right direction. I'm not fully buying in on that quite yet.
Real quick, Nick, Giannis plays in what city next year?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin, baby. He's staying.
Nick Whalen, wish casting for Giannis. Prop Points, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, each and every weekday here at the network. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin, everybody. You can follow Kelly on Twitter at Kelly by Delon.
You can follow Gil on Twitter at Beating the Book.
Thank you. Appreciate that. By
that was,
the way,
that was adorable.
We didn't plan that.
We didn't.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. James Fessler, old school analytics, you're terrible if you're hitting below the Mendoza line. Rockies team win percentage, hold my beer. The Silent Mike D, a little humor business idea for Bill 80, a commercialist show for premium price. If I have to listen to the upside gas promo again, I'm going to lose it. My new favorite one of the two girls in the car, who one wants to go out of her way to get better gas prices, and the girl's like, are you going out of your way and miss the concert to get better gas prices? That's the latest one.
I don't know that one. Yeah. Remember Vinny Baiul getting caught in the stock photo for gas prices? Like, you could just go to, like, Getty Images and use, like, copyright-free images, and Vinny's all mad that he's stuck in one of those.
That's so great. In perpetuity.
In perpetuity.
Let's go to Omaha, Nebraska, where the crew is all, I mean, the whole network is over there, including the co-host of Money Moves, which follows us each and every day. They are live at Rocco's in Omaha, where the world-famous Jell-O Shot Room is in full effect. Look at all those kids coming out of there. Stormy Bonatoni and JVT, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan Von Tobel, how you guys doing?
Good. I thought, by the way, your favorite commercial was going to be the G-Bank commercial with me and Dave Ross, but it's fine if you've got another favorite. We're doing well, though. It's fun over here at Rocco's. Jell-O shots are already being purchased, and if it gives you any indication as to the vibes, my husband has a beer in his hand at 10:30 a.m. over here on the side, so we're ready to go, yeah?
Yes. Yes, indeed. You don't mention, by the way, Stormy's commercial, she's very mean to, I don't know if anybody knows this, the veteran.
Didn't have to go there.
Dave Ross, the former Marine. She treats him like absolute garbage in the commercial.
Gil, I am an actor.
What I mean to say. You are the best actor, the best thespian we have at the network.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I needed that.
By the way, I want to thank the both of you also, because yesterday something happened in my brain during our segment. This is just us three talking right now, and Kelly's also listening in, where I thought it was Friday the entire time we were talking. And I'm like, hey, what about the games tonight? And you guys were great, where you were like, what is this guy talking about? Let's just play along. But there's actually tonight, before we get to the College World Series, Stormy.
Breaking news. There are games today, Gil.
It is actually today. Yes. Today is not Saturday. About the Stanley Cup Game four last night. My goodness. Edmonton comes back from a 3-0 deficit to knot it up in overtime. They win it 5-4, knot up the series at 2 games apiece. Now it's a de facto best of three. Where are we on Conn Smythe right now, in your opinion?
I love that you asked that question, because right before we came on the air, I asked JVT, hey, have you taken a look at the Conn Smythe odds? Because they're chaos. It's so volatile, the way that things have moved around so much. Leon Draisaitl, after the overtime game-winning goal last night, the fourth of this postseason for him, an NHL record, has now moved him up from what was 12-1 before the game yesterday to a plus 250 second shot on the board behind Sam Bennett, who, of course, leads the NHL postseason in goals right now with 14. He did have an assist on the game-tying goal late in the last 19 and a half seconds of that one to force overtime. But with the Oilers now equalizing the series, Oilers players are live again, and Leon Draisaitl has leapfrogged Connor McDavid in that market. I have a future on Sam Bennett at 20-1. That's kind of my hedge on the Oilers to win the series, because I did like Edmonton to come out and win it all. The way they got tripped up in game three, I wasn't as confident, but this market is so interesting to me. I do think it's Bennett for the Florida Panthers, where things sit right now. Shocked to see the way Bobrovsky has dropped all the way down to 75-1 in this market with the way that last night went. I think it's Bennett for them. Kachuk obviously has made an argument with the goals that he scored last night, the point production he's had. But Leon Draisaitl making a big push here for Edmonton, whereas everybody said if the Edmonton Oilers win it again, it's got to be Connor McDavid, right? He wins it in a losing effort last year in the Stanley Cup final. But if Leon keeps scoring goals, and the timely goals and the important, impactful goals like he does, plus 250 still very, very warranted if you like Edmonton.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of the many who has a Draisaitl ticket. Mine is not quite as long as some others. Well, here's my question to you. Maybe it is good for me, but it is all it's going to take is, this is what I was speculating earlier. Let's say it goes to a game seven, and let's say Connor McDavid just makes some spectacular move, gets a goal. It maybe let's just take it to the extreme. It's the game-winning goal. Does it matter at that point if Draisaitl is still has the record for the most playoff overtime goals? Or will the voters just say, well, it's Connor McJesus, for God's sakes, we got to give it to him. Look at that. Is that all it's going to take?
I think it's a toss-up, JVT. I'm curious your opinion on this. It could very much so go either way, depending on what the voters want to do, especially considering Draisaitl and Connor McDavid are both tied, I believe, at 32 points right now. So we've still got a lot of series left. You mentioned it, best of three the rest of the way. If Draisaitl continues to score more goals and McDavid isn't matching the points, then yeah, I think you give Draisaitl the edge. But McDavid winning the cup, being the world's best player that he is, I said it on the show the other day, I'd be shocked if Edmonton won, and quite frankly, it wasn't him, just because of the historical relevance that that carries and what voters might do. But if Draisaitl does keep scoring goals, that's impactful as well.
Sure. I'd be curious, Gil. Like, I've been picking her brain on this. Like, I don't know about the historical context of Conn Smythe in terms of the way these voters vote for it. In these other sports, as we have discussed, they tend to just gravitate toward the low-hanging fruit, which is the big name. But if you talk to hockey media members, people who know the sport, somebody like Stormy, we talked to Greg Wyshynski, there is a clear respect for somebody like Draisaitl. And I think that even regardless of how the series plays out or just giving it to the best guy, I think Draisaitl's got enough respect that he would still be able to win this if he and Connor McDavid have comparable statistical outputs the rest of the series and they go on to win it.
I like it. Come on, Leon. Get it home.
Yep.
All right. You are in Omaha for the College World Series, after all. We have two games tonight in bracket one. I'm curious, first of all, what's the vibe like from since yesterday to today? Has the storm of folks come in, especially from LSU and Arkansas? Has that fan base gotten there from both of those schools? What's the vibe? And then what are your favorite bets today?
I mean, I don't know about you. I've noticed a difference. Yeah. Like, walking in today, the hotel lobby, they were actually already getting the band started. So I was sitting in the hotel lobby meeting with their own Steve Cohen, and it was at 9:30 in the morning over here. They were already pushing troughs of beer out to the front of the hotel. This is a different vibe today. So I am very interested to see how the day will progress and what this is going to look like. But it does feel different to me in terms of how many people are out here.
I'd say more than double than what we saw yesterday, even just walking around from the hotel. The short walk over here to Rocco's, the sidewalks are already filled with people. They've got the, what is it, the merch walkway that you have over here with all of the different stands already opened and filled with people, and Rocco's is busy here for the Jello Shot area in the Jello Shot room. So yeah, you can feel a difference. As far as the bets today, I don't have an outright bet on either one of the games in bracket one, but I do wonder what your and like your guys' opinion is on this Coastal Carolina Arizona game. We had Matt Grissom on the program yesterday of College Baseball Insiders and was talking about how surprised he was to see Coastal Carolina just this big of a favorite at minus 230. I kind of lean Arizona plus the run and a half at even money because you're getting such a good price on it if we think this could be a close game. But Coastal Carolina's pitching staff is obviously so good. They've got a great starter going in the depth that they have compared to Arizona pitching-wise.
Yeah, I think I was also interested in this total, too, Arizona and Coastal Carolina. We talked about this. Right now it's 9 shaded to the under at a couple of spots. I tend to think that this is a game that could go over the total as well, given the upside for both of these teams offensively, too. So a higher scoring game, I think, in the first contest is something I'll be looking for later today, Gil.
Are you all doing this thing? Because I spoke to Steve a little bit yesterday also. Are you doing this thing where you have to cross the river to go into Iowa to make bets? Is that a thing?
So I'm going to go. Actually, when I'm done here, I'm going to go do the Skywalk. I want to go check that out. I have not been able to go and walk across, but I will be doing that here. There was a gentleman's establishment that was also across the border at Iowa that we had driven by, but I guess I just have to drive, walk over the Sky Bridge. I don't have to go that far.
It did make us laugh that the first thing we see is we get off of the plane and we're making our way into Omaha with something that is very familiar to us as Las Vegas residents.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm excited. I hope that Derek already told us yesterday, Derek Stevens, owner of Circa, told us that we could hop in the limo van thing.
Yep.
That is fully stocked as well to go make said bets. So that's what we're looking for.
Oh, they have a limo that's fully stocked, Kelly.
That sounds very nice and convenient.
Actually, journalistic clarity. Sorry, guys. It's a party bus.
Party bus.
Yeah.
Hey, very different.
John, I got a very specific Omaha question for you. You, in the past, have taken part in a hot dog eating contest on air or sort of on air. I have drank half gallons of eggnog on air before. How does it compare shoveling as many Jello shots down your throat as you can as possible?
Oh, yeah. They go down a lot easier, especially because there's a variety of flavor. You know, as you well know, Kelly, one of the challenges of professional eating, as we are professional eaters, is that the repetitive flavor does get to you. When you get deep into that eggnog or when you get into your, fifth dog, the repetitive flavor is pretty gross. So the fact that there's 4 different flavors makes it so much easier,
I do want to let it be known, though, because you mentioned the hot dog eating. Mm-hmm. July 4th hot dog eating contest, when that comes up, I have already purchased a hat that says bad day to be a hot dog that I'm ready to wear on air that day. I'm very excited.
Wow. We had Jensen on earlier. I asked him, who's the VSiN host you're looking at where you're like, this is the Jello Shot person I need to be worried about? And he said Stormy. I'll ask the same of you guys. You should be honored by that. Who is the person who you're looking across at your fellow VSiN host and you're like, that's the person to beat right now?
Her. Probably. She's talking a lot. But I will say, non-VSiN host,
Wilbo.
I have been terrified of Wilbo.
Wilbo's throwing him down.
Yeah, I think he's at 30, and that was yesterday.
The field is unstoppable with Wilbo here. There's nothing anyone can do.
Wow.
But we're trying. We're going to try. As soon as we're off the air today, we're ready to go.
Any purple vomit or anything yet?
Not to my knowledge.
No purple Jello shots.
Guys, enjoy your time.
Blue and green and red.
Enjoy your time. We'll see you at the top of the hour. Stormy and JVT for Money Moves right here at Visa.
A numbers game on Visa, the sports betting network.
Back on the numbers game live from Circa, Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland. Want to recap some bets?
It's bloody, man. The U.S. Open, boy.
Dude, it's brutal. Scottie Scheffler in danger of missing the cut.
He is right now outside the projected cut line. He is 5 over for the tournament, 2 over for his second round.
I bet him plus 1650 today to have low round. But projected cut right now is 4 over, and he is at 5 over with 6 holes to play. A lot of golf, obviously. A whole bunch of guys have yet to tee off, so a lot of golf yet to be played. But you get the idea. As J.J. Spahn and Thurston Lawrence, Kelly wants you to know they're not the same kind of golfer, but those two guys remain in the clubhouse, chilling at 4-under and 3-under respectively. Sam Burns is up to 3-under, though?
Sam Burns is 3. Yeah, he is 3-under.
All right, so he's 5. Sam Burns is the only person defeating this. Well, he's not the only person, but he's among the few defeating this golf course today.
And your favorite right now at plus 550 is Sam Burns.
Sam Burns.
one
back.
Victor Hovland 9-1 right now, and he is one under par, three off the lead.
Daniel Berger 3 off the lead, one under for the tournament. Let's go. Let's
yeah, where's
go.
Where's Berger's odds?
Yeah, disrespectful. Where is he? Where are his odds? Give me some of that. Let's see what Berger's. Let's see what the Berger tax is.
50-1 on Berger right now?
Give me that. Give me it. By the way, all of our bets recapped on every show, every host, every guest, every sport at VSiN.com, by the way. VSiN.com/picks for subscribers, but also recap courtesy of GBank at the end of each and every show. Mine, let's begin with that terrible Scottie Scheffler bet I made this morning at plus 1650 to have the best second round score. That ain't happening. I do have the Pacers tonight, plus 6, game 4. Let's go. Let's get it done, Pacers. Let's not just cover. Let's win. Pacers plus 6. And I've got these two going on. Tigers got a win yesterday. By the way, can we show the best June wins after this as well?
Yeah.
I don't want to interrupt the G-Bank best bets, but Tigers 16-1, most wins in June. And there's the Draisaitl bet, 9-1 to win Conn Smythe, down to 250. What could go wrong? What do you got, Kelly?
Tonight, Thunder, money lines, both first half and full game. Lou Dort over threes. 1.5, I'm willing to lay the juice. I know that he's kind of caught in that in-between. I played Lou Dort last game, too, over 1.5. I'd rather lay the minus 160 with the 1.5 than take, like, plus 110 on 2.5.
Lou Dort on fire in game 3. On fire.
He's also your three-point leader right now for the series. I did bet that pre-series, so that bet's looking pretty good, at least.
Chris Felica came in here with two insulting wagers. One, he took Madison. No, I'm kidding. They're both good wagers. Madison Keys, 18-1 to win Wimbledon. I endorse that bet. Maddie Keys is among the handful of ladies that is really live, I would say. First of all, Wimbledon is live beyond 5, but she's one of the really serious, you know, historically good grass court players. 18-1 is a good price on Maddie Keys. I have not made a bet on Wimbledon yet myself, but that's a good number. And then he goes under on the Commodores, the Washington Commanders, under 9.5 wins. All the reasons that Chris stated, I do not have a counter argument for, right? A lot of close wins last year. Some might even say miraculous on some of those occasions. And Jaden Daniels was as great as could be. He's going under 9.5 with the schedule getting tougher for the Washington Commanders. I've made a vow, by the way, Kelly. I'm going to try to say Commanders this year.
All right, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to say.
Every time?
No, but I'm going to try to say.
Okay,
all
right.
Yeah. Jensen was on earlier. Jensen Lewis from By the Books. He has some college baseball bets for us. All of these now are the first games, respectively, in brackets 1 and 2. Arizona Coastal Carolina is going under the total, 9.5. Louisville, Oregon State, under the total of 10. Murray State on the money line, plus 210. The Racers' magic carpet ride continues, according to Jensen's bet. And then LSU and Arkansas, under 9.5 in the clash of the two remaining SEC teams at the College World Series. Then in Major League Baseball today, he's on the Red Sox on the money line, minus 142, and the Diamondbacks, minus 137. Bullpen holding up so far. Paul Carr came in here and he made up a couple soccer tournaments that he bet on. One, Club World Cup, South American team to win at 9-1. And then the Gold Cup, which we are familiar with the Gold Cup, he is fading the United States of America. Some might call that unpatriotic.
Hey, so is Pulisic, their best player.
Yeah, he's said
big time in America.
He's like, forget this.
You're big time America, Christian Pulisic. I see ya.
I got other things to do.
So
he's going Saudi Arabia to win Group D at plus 250. Huh. No judgment.
They don't sound like they're in North or Central America.
No, they don't. GBank, by the way, introduces the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit, and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. I just want to say this before we go today, because we were talking about how the ratings were down for both the NBA and the Stanley Cup Finals. But let me just say this. Man, people who have not experienced these two postseasons this year, you are lesser for it.
Mm-hmm.
They have been spectacular.
Yep.
I mean, first of all, the finals themselves have been unbelievable. Three out of the four NHL Stanley Cup final games going to OT. Obviously, the Pacers, magic carpet ride, to use that phrase again, continuing so far. And again, I'll say it, you know, if the Pacers get to the promised land here, if they win the title, it is the most amazing, improbable run to any title I believe we've ever seen in any sport in a playoffs. And it's just, the country apparently is not mesmerized by this, according to the ratings. Betting handle, at least on my very little anecdotal survey that I'm doing, appears to be way down. But as far as just the amazement of American sport, let's say, in all this, it's been incredible.
It really has. Really has. Can't wait for tonight's game.
Can't wait.
The NBA is a massive game.
I schedule dinners around it. Still, yeah, like, I'm like, I don't want to miss this.
It's a great sports day. U.S. Open and then NBA tonight. Love it.
U.S. Open's got you down a little bit?
Well, it's just all going to come down to today. I got this 60-1 Miss the Cup parlay that I'm like really live on, but everything else is looking pretty rough. Hey, some guys haven't teed out off. Ludwig, Keegan, maybe they do something in the second round, make things look a little bit better for me. But right now, not all that.
Let's say someone wants to jump in after this round. Obviously, we only have the current leaderboard to go by. Who is the name? You already know where the question is.
No, it's just
the name? What's the name that you're like, I think I might bet this guy to win it?
Well, yesterday I thought it was John Rahm. That ain't looking. I did bet him. That's not looking so great right now. Victor Hovland. I did bet a top 10 on entering today. Hovland, man, he couldn't putt.
He's lurking.
He could not hit a putt yesterday. His tee to green numbers were great though. He's lurking right there. He's had a tough season to figure out. He started off like crap. Picked up the win at the Valspar. Has had like a couple top 30 finishes since then. I think Victor's got a shot here. I think he's got a shot.
Siwoo, I think, is my answer. Where's your guy Ludwig? Is he nowhere to be found?
He's like two over. He hasn't teed off yet.
Okay. All right.
Gil, you ever done a Jello shot, by the way? Savannah brought these in.
This is a non-alcoholic Jello shot right here?
Partake? I didn't even think you were going to partake.
Sort of killed me. So this is like
a double.
If you're in the hospital.
Right, correct.
How does this work? This is going to go all over my shirt?
So I'm going to show you. This is how you do it, because I know you went to a fancy school in Boston, right? So like this is... fancy school of Boston. I went to a dirty Florida State. Okay?
No names.
This is what you got to do. You got to put your finger in here first. Okay,
what?
So you got to separate the Jello from the cup. Okay, this is how the real pros do it. Make sure you don't wash your hands beforehand. That's very important. It adds to the flavor. Okay,
that makes it easier to come out of the plastic.
Correct. That makes it easier to come out of the plastic. And just because Savannah wants to see me spill an entire Jello cup on my shirt, I'm gonna do this right now. I'm gonna try.
All right, Kelly Billen, everybody. Very impressive. Years of practice.
Good. Yeah, now that's bigger than a regular Jello shot, though.
Was that like a cherry flavor?
Something like that. Cherry, strawberry, I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
My hand's sticky.
You're waiting for me to do this? Is this what the excitement is?
Yeah, it's your turn, bro. Come on, man.
I'm doing it like you said to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing it like this.
Oh, the crew's chanting your name.
By the way,
back.
This is the whitest network I've ever worked at. White people. Here we go. Here we go. That's my reaction. Well, how's your finger not all red like mine? How's that? Now I do this like this?
Yeah, now you just chug it back. Yep, there you go. Oh.
Now you get it all in your mouth. I don't know what's going
Years
on.
Years of experience.
This is actually very tasty.
Very tasty. I didn't really taste it. I just kind of threw it back.
So what am I going to do with my finger?
Yeah, I know. That's what we each got an issue. I should have saved this for 30 more seconds.
This is exciting.
Anyways, NBA Finals on the way out. I'm on the Moneyline Thunder tonight. Gil's on the Pacers plus the points.
Pacers plus the points, for sure. Why not? I've done it every night. Why not keep going? It's been a very profitable ride, and I know Nick Whalen called it very first takey when I said this earlier, but I do think it's the de facto NBA championship tonight.
Oh, I disagree with the wording a little bit. Like, it's a must win for the Thunder. I think it's over if the Pacers win tonight.
Must win for the Thunder.
Just to keep this alive.
You don't think it's a must win for the Pacers?
No.
Oh, okay. That's different. All right. We've done all we could do. Sorry about the Jello shot thing. Omaha College World Series. Stormy and JBT next with Money Moves and Joy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.